you have your Bibles, let's take your scriptures to the book of Matthew. Title of this morning's message, Born Again to Pray. But the word again, well, it looked better on paper, but the word again is in square brackets, okay? And so, you know, typically we would say, oh, this person is born to play football, or he's born to play the piano, he's born to hunt, you know, that means you have that natural God-given talent, you're born to do certain things. And so the context I was getting at, maybe you just seemed better when I was thinking about it. We are saved, we are born again to pray. And so God saves us to serve him. He saves us into a living relationship with him. And so he wants us to praise him. He wants us to pray to him, speak to him, commune with him. And so let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, let's go to verse 41. And so this is, of course, in the garden, right before Jesus' arrest, you know, and it's a very popular passage because the, you know, the disciples let, you know, let him down, and he told Peter, James, and John specifically to pray, but the others, they should have as well. And Peter, James, and John specifically kind of dropped the ball there. But let's go to Matthew 26. And again, may we truly understand the absolute necessity of prayer. And I get it. We all know prayer is important, but may this, of course, from the scripture, stir our hearts to, again, to be reminded, maybe from God's perspective, just absolutely how necessary. I mean, I know we know that it's needed, but how needed? Well, let's go to verse 41, Matthew 26, verse 41. And the scripture says, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for thy salvation, Lord, that we have. And Lord, that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. He is the earnest of our inheritance, born of your spirit, washed in your blood, Lord. And Lord, what an awesome thought to be saved forever. Help us, Lord, to walk, you know, befitting in this life of a Christian, that we would pray more, that, Lord, speak to hearts even today. Lord, I am weak, but thou art strong, Lord, and may I decrease and I'll increase, go to the head of this church, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, may your word go forth with Holy Spirit power, Lord, that regardless of me and in all of my vanity, Lord, that your word is true, and that there is power in the blood, there is power in the word of God, Lord, and there's power in your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us to be faithful in our prayers, Lord. And so we love you. Bless this time, the preaching of thy word, that let us be reminded that we are born again to pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, you know, we all know, if we asked on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is prayer, you know, we all put 11. I mean, we know it in theory, but again, to truly appreciate just from God's point of view how much God desires us to pray, how necessary and vital prayer is to a Christian, to a child of God. Again, this is for believers. In our life, as always, we look at the scripture. Amen? So let's go to verse 40. In fact, back up with me a little bit. Verse 40, Word of God says this. You know, I sigh because it's a sad verse to read. You know, Jesus is disappointed. You know, and of course, he's done so much for everyone. He's giving to, he's got nothing left to give, and then he forsakes his sleep, and then even then whenever he can sleep, he wakes up a great while before dawn just to pray, to commune to the Father, but he's always giving until there's nothing left to give. He gave his life anyway, and then he died. I mean, he gave everything, and then here he comes, the one job, right? He told them, guys, you are my inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Can you guys just, I really need your prayers, all right? And so just hang with me, watch with me. Of course, he comes back. We know the story. Verse 40 says, and he cometh unto the disciples, findeth them asleep. I'm like, oh. And by the way, the Lord is so gracious. If it's me, I'll be looking for a stick or something going to whack. No, okay, but he findeth them asleep, saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Friends, I am so thankful to the Lord. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to let him down. Yes, I'm saved, but I want to be found faithful. And the prayer life of a Christian is your Christian life. Okay, and so this is kind of the aha I want us to get to from the scriptures. And so Jesus is so heartbroken, the Lord Jesus, to see these three. Again, and he specifically told these three, these are his most reliable disciples. These are the ones he's going to leave physically, of course, to continue to grow the church. These are his three top guys, you know, and here they're like the three amigos, you know, but here they are. And they dropped the ball. They were tired. They were sad, exhausted, and they kind of fell asleep. Of course, what did Jesus specifically tell them? You go to verse 38 with me. Then said he unto them, and just the three, out of the, you know, just very intimate, he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. I mean, that's a confession. I mean, the Lord is confiding in his disciples, Peter, James, and John, even unto death. I mean, he knows he's going to be crucified and tortured and scourged, his punishment. He knows that's coming in. He's sorrowful. He knows it's going to become sin. And so he tells them that this is going to be the greatest trial of my ministry is yet ahead of me. It's going to be my martyrdom. I'm going to die. Tarry ye here. You guys stay here. I'm going to go pray to the Father, but you guys tarry ye here. And then what does he say? And watch with me. By the way, it doesn't say watch me, okay? It's not saying I'm going to go there and pray and just watch me. No, he says watch with me, okay? And so what does watch mean? Well, watch means to be spiritually alert, on guard, to be spiritually awake, to be sober, to be vigilant, to have on the whole armor of God, to be locked in, okay? So be on guard, guys. Watch with me, not just watch me pray. Watch with me. In fact, so what I am doing, you do with me. I mean, I'll be over there. But what I do, you do with me. I'm going to watch, you watch. I'm going to pray, you pray, right? And so let's go to verse 39, because this is exactly what happened. And so, and he went a little further. So Jesus gave them his instructions, his commandments, his confiding in love with them and trust. He's trusting them to do this. So he goes a little further, fell on his face, and prayed. He prayed. And so watching goes hand in hand with prayer. In fact, if you go to Ephesians, we'll take a pit stop at Ephesians real quick. We'll come back here. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick here. Ephesians chapter 6, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God chapter, the last chapter, book of Ephesians. But if you go to verse, let's start in verse 10. We'll start verse 10 and 11 first. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Who wants to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? I do, right? Amen. Me. Well, here's what we've got to do. Put on the whole armor of God, which God has given us. If we don't have it on, it's because we just let it sit in the closet. We shoved it on the bed, but God's given it to us. All things that pertain unto life and godliness, he has given us. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, in fact, these are exactly the same temptations that Jesus tells Peter, James, and John. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Don't fall for the wiles of the devil. Same context. And then, of course, verse 12, and all the way to verse 17, you know, it talks about the spiritual war that we are in. To fight the spiritual battle, we need the whole armor of God. I'm not going to take time to go through each of those verses, wonderful verses. But then once we are fully equipped, once we are fully in watch mode, right? And so if we are on guard, vigilant and sober as a soldier, the idea is we're geared up, okay? We're not just there in our PJs, okay? We're in battle garb. And I forget, we know folks that serve in military. I thought Brother James said it was 70 pounds of equipment when he was in Iraq. That's a lot of stuff. I'm just saying, okay, so you gear up. You got everything for every situation, so that's the whole armor of God. And then when you're finally suited up, ready to charge the battle is fought in the trenches of prayer. Verse 18, praying, so this is how we fight the battle. We got to have the armor of God on, and then we fight by praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, not in the flesh, not just asking God for what my flesh wants. That should be the last thing on my mind. By asking God in the Spirit what he wants, right? And we will only fulfill verse 18 if we have the armor of God, the whole armor of God on. And then look at this. And watching. So prayer and watching go hand in hand, okay? Watch to be alert, on guard, ready to go, and then you pray. Pray is the actual, you know, watching is like, I don't know, like aiming. Praying is like pulling the trigger. You got to have both. It goes hand in hand. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Don't quit. Pray without ceasing. Pray faithfully. And supplication for all saints. It's huge. So watching leads to praying. Effective watching leads to effective praying. So the Lord, of course, Jesus Christ, is telling Peter, James, and John to watch with me, meaning watch and then pray. When I watch, you watch. When I pray, you pray. And then, so let's go to back to Matthew 26. Back to Matthew 26. Of course, they don't pray, which is, you know, again, before I point the finger at them, that's I would be that way too. Okay, I'm just saying this in the flesh, the spirit is indeed willing. Honest to goodness, Lord, I really wanted to pray with you. And Jesus is not. It's amazing what he tells them. He's not calling them out as being fake, in the sense that he's not saying, "Oh, you never wanted to pray with me." And he knows they wanted to, but they couldn't. And wanting is not enough to get us over the finish line, right? I might want to, I want to do many things, but unless I watch and pray, it's not going to happen, right? Okay, so go to verse 41. Of course, we know that did not happen. They didn't pray. They didn't watch. But notice what Jesus says. He tells them to what? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. Did we catch that? Jesus told them to watch and pray. They didn't. They fell into temptation. And then he comes to them, he tells them, guys, watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. Jesus is telling them to watch and pray so they can watch and pray. Don't miss this. He told them, first of all, I need you to watch and pray with me. They don't. He comes back and tells them, guys, you should have been watching and praying so you could watch and pray with me. Now, why is this? It's because the life of a Christian revolves completely around prayer, our relationship with the Lord. The life of a Christian revolves around prayer. Prayer is not just something a Christian needs if I want to do an optional but spiritual feat, okay? Like training for the Olympics. Okay, it's great to win gold at the Olympics, but, you know, most of us don't, and we're perfectly fine with our lives not. Prayer is not just a spiritual high. It's not just a power play in the Christian life. Like, if you think of a heart monitor, an ECG, you know, it's go beep, 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 you know, like that. Prayer is not just, you know, just day by day, not praying, not praying, not praying. I'm praying, not praying, not praying, not praying. I'm praying, 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 not praying. I'm praying. You know, it's not just like that. Prayer is not just necessary when facing the Goliaths in our life. And then for just the regular guys, I don't need to pray. No. Prayer is so much more essential than that, because, my friends, without prayer, you have no Christian life. Without prayer, there is no Christian life. We can still be saved, amen, but we cannot live in the Spirit of God, and we cannot live in the Spirit for God, for even if our spirit is indeed willing, Lord, I really want to do this for you, the flesh is weak. In other words, unable to do God's will. We will be carnal and living in the flesh for self. I mean, this is huge. Just like we eat, think of it this way. Prayer and the life of a Christian, the Christian life. Just like we eat to live, and then while we're alive, we what? We eat to stay alive so we can keep on eating, to keep on living. It's a continual cycle. Eat to live, to eat to live, to eat to live, to eat to live. Your life as a Christian should be pray to live, to pray to live, to pray to live, to pray to live. If we stop eating, we stop what? We stop living. It's kind of a no-brainer. We don't just eat to have a good day. I mean, I eat to stay alive. I mean, I enjoy my food, don't get me wrong, but I eat to stay alive. It's as necessary as breathing. Think about it this way. Prayer is not just to us what spinach is to Popeye, right? Like normally he doesn't take the spinach till Brutus gets, you know, same story every time, right? But until he's in a jam, then like, uh-oh, he's losing spinach, now he wins. You know, so prayer is not just a crutch that we pull out every now and then to win the fight. Think of it as pumping gas. We pump gas to what? To drive. But when we need gas, what do? Drive to the gas station. So we pump gas to drive, but we drive to pump gas. Do you see? It's a cycle. Jesus said you need to watch and pray so you can watch and pray. Prayer is the Christian life. Jesus didn't enter into temptation, unlike the disciples who fell asleep, because he was already prayed up. He had on the whole armor of God. The disciples did not. Without being prayed up, we cannot obey the command to pray. The more we pray, the more we pray. The less we pray, the less we pray. And prayer is so vital to the Christian life, my friends. We can have no Christian life without prayer. Again, we can be saved. If you truly believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are saved, saved alone by his grace and faith. Praise God, by grace through faith. Peter, James, and John were truly bona fide disciples. Yes, they were true disciples, but they were what? Sleeping. They were sleeping. And we can be true born-again believers, but without prayer, without a prayer life, we have no Christian life. We'll be in a spiritual slumber. Now, this is the pattern throughout Scripture. Let's go to Psalm 86. Go to Psalm 86 with me, my friends. This is the testimony of King David, one of my heroes, Psalm 86. David, of course, a man after God's own heart. Psalm 86. So, but see this play out here. Psalm 86, and in fact, not even verse 1, the preamble, if you will, it says, a prayer of David. Not all Bibles have it, but if yours has it, it's kind of the preamble. It says, a prayer of David. And so this is a national psalm for all Israel to sing, but it is also David's intimate prayer. In other words, God wanted all of Israel to pray like this. Yeah, of course, this is the inspired scriptures, which is also his praise song, but it's also a prayer from David, from his heart for all Israel. In other words, applicable to all believers. What an application. Praise God. And so, of course, David is known as the man after God's own heart. But what did David desire? Go down to verse 11 with me. In this prayer, what does David pray for? Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name. What a prayer. David wants to be teachable. Too often times, I don't like to be taught new tricks. I just like to do it my way, the way I know how to do it. But no, I got to delete my old self and be taught by God. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. What a confession, what a desire. And then he says this, unite my heart to fear thy name. And so David has a heart after God's heart, right? That's how God describes him. What a tremendous way for God to describe any one of us, to describe David, a man after my own heart. In other words, what God likes, David likes. What God hates, David hates. What God loves, David loves. So David's heart very closely mirrors God's heart. That's awesome. And David here is asking for a united, meaning to have one heart. He doesn't want to have any stray parts of his heart wandering off, you know, in rebellion or not loyal. You know, he wants his whole heart, every molecule, every atom of his heart to be united in the fear of God and God's name. Now, what's amazing is David prayed. Yes, David prayed because he was a man after God's own heart. Absolutely. But David was also a man after God's own heart because he prayed. Do we understand how absolutely not just needful as my crutch in jams of life? Prayer is more than that. Prayer, like breathing, is absolutely essential for the Christian life. What about Daniel? Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. He's another one of my heroes. Daniel chapter 6. Keep going. Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. We'll have Daniel after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 6. Now notice this. Daniel chapter 6. Let's go to verse 3. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. And now this is with Belshazzar, the one that comes after King Nebuchadnezzar. He's new king on the block. And of course, he wants to find out what the writing on the wall is to his own demise. But he, you know, look at verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. That's amazing. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Now, what exactly is an excellent spirit? More than just a good attitude, okay? In fact, it goes a lot more than that. If you go back to chapter 5 with me, verse 11. Chapter 5 and then verse 11. This is when King Belshazzar is really troubled, doesn't know the writing, no one can read it. And then the queen steps up and shares this. If you go to verse 11, Daniel 5 says, and she's an unbeliever. But Daniel's testimony and excellent spirit is so amazing that, you know, she can't deny it, right? It's observable, it's undeniable. So she says this about Daniel. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Now, of course, she's mistaken. It's the one true God. But again, to her, she knows he's got some divine touch. Okay, so this is a lost person's take on Daniel. Okay, so we give her that leeway. Just like in Pharaoh, when he talks to Joseph, you know, oh, this guy's, you know, wisdom is from the gods. Of course, Joseph knows it's from the one true God. Same thing here. Okay, but she says this, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods. And so this is not man's wisdom, this is God's wisdom, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. So out of all the other hocus-pocus traditions or whatever that's out there, the one that rose to the top was obviously Daniel. Of course, Daniel served the one true God, Jehovah. We know that. For as much as an excellent spirit, so this is what excellent spirit comes from, and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of heart sentences and dissolving of doubts beyond a shadow of a doubt. He knows the absolute truth. And all he knows is what God tells him, which is truth, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, very similar to Belshazzar, which again is it's a Babylonian name, okay? Bel meaning Baal or Baal, okay, the false god Baal. Shazar meaning protects. And so both Daniel and Belshazzar were very similar names, meaning Baal protects. Ironically, it was not Baal that protected them, it was Jehovah, it was God, the one true God, Yahweh. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. That's amazing. So even the lost queen, the unbelieving queen, knew that there was something about Daniel, that his heart is so in tune with God, his spirit overlaps God. I mean, you know, when you talk to Daniel like talking to God, you get the answer from heaven, not of man, and it would settle all doubts. I mean, so Daniel had such an excellent spirit. That's awesome. You know, his like tuning a radio dial, Daniel was locked onto God's spirit. It was crystal clear. What God said, he got it. You know, and we think of a radio, which, in fact, I don't know how many of my kids know. The kids, they used to have a little knob you actually have to turn to get the needle to go up and down the bandwidth. Today, it's just you press the button, right? Okay, but I mean, I'm just saying, you know, but you, it's like tuning, and Daniel's heart, his spirit was tuned to God, right on the money. You know, sometimes, you know, we tune it, we can hear God's voice, but maybe there's some other noise. Sometimes you get some cross stations, right? Or maybe sometimes it's just static. So how's my heart tuned with God? Am I getting anything coming through? Well, sometimes maybe I'm even on the wrong channel. Don't do that. Okay, so what I'm saying is to tune our heart to God. And Daniel's spirit was tuned to God's spirit. Now, what was his secret? We know the answer, right? Faithful prayer. So let's go to Daniel 6, because this is what happens later in King Darius. But Daniel chapter 6, let's go to verse 10. Daniel chapter 6, go to verse 10. So it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was... Oh, by the way, Daniel, I love how even though he was given that Babylonian name, Baal protects, you know, Belshazzar, his name Daniel, God is my judge. Dan means judge. When you say Daniel, is Daniel, the L there is like Elohim. It's God. His name ends with God. So judge God, but it means God is my judge. And this whole time, he knew who he was and who his judge was, his true God, his true deliverer is Jehovah. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house in his windows, being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and what? Prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. It wasn't a crutch prayer. It wasn't his spinach when he was in the jam. He always prayed. Daniel had an excellent spirit because he prayed. But because he prayed, he had an excellent spirit. Do we see the consistency? It's the life of a Christian. Your Christian life, my Christian life, is gauged by our prayer life. The stronger we are in our prayer life, the stronger our Christian life. You can almost look at it, synonymously. Okay. What's amazing is he prayed three times a day. Now, this is very different than saying three prayers a day, okay? Like, I can say grace for breakfast. I thank the Lord for my lunch. I can thank the Lord for my dinner. That's three. No, this is not three prayers. This is three times. One time of prayer can have a bunch of prayers, okay? I'm just saying. So three times that he prayed. And how long is each time? Well, when Jesus tells his disciples, he said to Peter, James, and John, what? That question mark? Could not you watch with me 1 hour? What's the context? 1 hour isn't very long. 1 hour is very doable. 1 hour is, in fact, short from Jesus' standpoint. And so that was the context when Jesus says, even 1 hour, you guys, come on, you can't even pray with me, watch with me for 1 hour. Daniel's life revolved around prayer. Does my life, does your life revolve around prayer? One way to tell how much our life revolves around prayer, ask yourself this honestly. What's your honest personal perception of prayer? How do I feel about prayer? How do you feel about prayer? What interrupts what? Do I feel that prayer interrupts the busyness of my day? Or does the busyness of my day interrupt my prayer? Oh, me. Could I pray for an hour? Is my prayer closet my secret garden where I commune with God, and the joy that we share as I tarry there none other has ever known? Or is my prayer closet more like a timeout, solitary confinement, punishment? What's the best part of prayer? The ending. No, don't. I'm just saying, I'm just saying, how do we look at prayer? When I pray, when I know I need to pray, am I like, oh, okay, let me just quick pray. Does prayer interrupt what I want to do? Or does what I want to do interrupt my prayer? You do what you need to do, and you think of the life of Jesus Christ. His life, of course, revolved around prayer. Yes, he ministered. He ministered till he was so exhausted. He fell asleep in the boat when there was a storm. That's how exhausted he was. Of course, his disciples, like me, take it wrong. And like, Lord, hey, don't you care about us that we perish? No, he's just exhausted. He really was sleep deprived. He pulled all-nighters all the time. While his disciples were sleeping like babies, he was up praying for them, okay? And so this Jesus, he was always running on empty. Remember, he sat by the John chapter 4, by the well side. He couldn't even go. Like, guys, you guys go ahead. Get some meat. I can't even go. He's just exhausted, always exhausted. He gave his all. So with Jesus, I always sense, we read it very clearly. He ministered and he communed with God. His life was interrupted by the busyness of what he wanted to do. He was moved with compassion, right? And so he saw the multitude without a shepherd. He saw the blind man. He saw the leper. He saw the lame. He was moved with compassion. He's tired. He wants to pray, but okay, I'll interrupt my day. Meaning, he was happy to do it because he's love. And he was moved with compassion. The love of Christ constrains us. But once he dealt with that, got to go back to prayer. Got to go back to prayer. May that be our testimony of prayer. May that be our Christian life. The busyness of the day, we deal with the affairs of this life. Don't be entangled by it, but we deal with it. And then we get back to prayer because we absolutely were born again to prayer. Don't squander our calling. We are supernaturally indwelled. We're empowered by the Spirit of God. We are equipped with God's word. God has personally given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, including the whole armor of God. Let us not pray. Okay, don't not pray. Living the Christian life, again, is not the same as being a Christian. Peter, James, and John, again, they were disciples for the Lord, but they were sleeping. They were not watching and praying. You know, we can be saved, but we can be spiritually asleep. Child of God, wake up. Wake up. Put on the whole armor of God. It's now high time that we fight in the trenches of spiritual warfare. People are dying and going to a devil's hell in droves. If we have the truth, we need to share the truth. But we will not share the truth effectively if we are in the flesh. Doesn't matter how much our spirit is indeed willing. Jesus did not knock their intentions. He knew they desired to pray, but he couldn't do it because they were not watching and praying before that. So it was doomed for failure. We have to watch and pray so that we can watch and pray. God transforms our life through prayer. A transformed life, you know, it's observable. It's even measurable. If you want to get specific, you can, you know, I wish they had one of these, you know, got to be guarded against technology, but they have these phones or these watches that can measure your steps and all these things, your sleep time. And I don't have that, but my wife does. She's like, oh, I had 4 hours of sleep and 2 hours. I mean, I don't know how he counts it. But if you think about it, if there was a spiritual watch that could measure how long we spent in prayer, true prayer, not fake prayer, or even not even praying. I mean, what a metric. I mean, but a truly transformed life will be observable. It will be measurable. And you can see and you can tell when someone spends time with God in the prayer closet because they will be more at peace. They will be more gracious. They will be less triggered. They would be a better Christian, a better friend, a better spouse, a better soldier for the Lord. The more time we spend secretly with the Lord, it will show on the outside. God transforms our life through prayer. It is a result when we pray to the Lord. It is the result of us yielding to God. But we also pray to God that we be yielded to him. It works both ways. In fact, let's go back to Matthew 26. We're going to wrap it up here. Let's go back to Matthew 26. A transformed life that is observable is a result of us yielding to God. But again, we also pray to God that we be yielded to him. And so let's go to Matthew 26. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. He gently rebukes his disciples. Then he goes back to praying, Matthew 26. And what he was doing, they need to do, they should have done, we ought to be doing. Watch with him, pray with him. Let's go to the rest of verse 39, Matthew 26, verse 39. And look at this. And he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus is not negotiating with the Father. He's praying. He's praying for his, he gives his desire. He's being honest. He's sharing his desire. But he's also praying, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. What a wonderful prayer. When we pray to God, pray that, well, we pray because we are yielded to God. But we can also pray that we be yielded to God, right? And so it's both. Our life revolves, it's sandwiched by prayer. And so pray that, Lord, this is my desire, but Lord, give me a tender heart that what I would desire what you desire, that I would be willing to do what you want, Lord, that it's your will, not mine, be done. Prayer shows that we are close to God. But prayer also gets us close to God, right? And if we can do nothing else, at the end of the day, here's the joy of prayer. Everyone and anyone can pray. It is an awesome, awesome privilege to pray. Not everyone, speaking about myself, can, you know, have those physical skills to, you know, put up a church building or do whatever. But every one of us can pray. That's intentional, because our prayer life is our Christian life. Let's bow heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are. Help me, Lord, to truly take to heart the absolute essential, Lord. Without a prayer life, there is no Christian life. Help me, Lord, to spend time in you in prayer, to watch and pray so I can watch and pray. And keep on watching to pray and pray to watch and pray to live and live to pray. Lord, we love you. Bless this invitation time, Father. May hearts be stirred. May we truly yield of ourselves to you, to pray because we are yielded, but pray to be yielded. It's both. And Father, it's all you. It's never us. We thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to watch and pray with one another. And even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we ask in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed as the piano.